I wanted girls to know that they didn't need to stifle who they were. They didn't need to stifle their thoughts or actions to be accepted, that who they were as they are was enough.
Welcome to A Certain Age, a show for women who are unafraid to age out loud. Beauties, podcasting is such a fun, intimate, creative medium. You are literally in somebody's ear, sharing your thoughts, your stories, your point of view. When my guests and I show up every Monday, you get to be part of the conversation. And after a great conversation ends and the final words dissipate in the air, you really feel like you got to know an incredible new woman. You feel lit up by all that you've learned. But one way podcasting can fall short, at least the way I do it, is that it's not visual. You can hear, imagine, nod your head in agreement, but you can't see the players. You can't see them in action as they move through their world and ours. My guest today is phenomenally talented at doing exactly that, showing you incredible people visually through photographs that grab your attention, spark curiosity, and create a sense of connection. If you've spent more than 5 minutes on Instagram, there is a very good chance you've slowed your scroll to see the fantastic images from photographer KT Parker. I have been following her account for years, ever since she published her first book, Strong as the New Pretty, which celebrates the power of girlhood. Now she's back with her latest book, Force of Nature, a celebration of girls and women raising their voices. You know how we feel about raising our voices and getting loud over here at A Certain Age Pod. When I learned that Kate had a stunning new book about women who are finding, using, and amplifying their voices, I knew I wanted to get her on the show. I am thrilled she is joining me today to talk about the magic that can happen when we make ourselves heard. Welcome, Kate.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am thrilled. Thank you so much for being a yes. You're out with your latest book, which I think is your fifth or sixth. Is it six or five?
No, fifth, yeah.
Oh, fifth. Okay, great. So, your first bestseller really put you on the map, Strong as the New Pretty, which celebrates girls, you know, girlhood. I am pretty obsessed with origin stories, and I would love to hear the backstory that put you into motion as an author.
Oh, it's so funny. I always think of it like as like a villain origin story. They're like, what happened to you that you decided? No.
That's hysterical. We'll take a villain origin story too. That sounds exciting.
I mean, I think it might be, I have two older brothers that I was always just trying to keep up with and be like, but yeah, it's funny. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but yeah, getting bullied by my older brothers, it was like, propel me into a career of trying to empower girls and women.
I hope they're listening. I hope they're taking full credit. Like, we knew what we were doing.
Oh my gosh.
She just thought we were mean.
Of course.
Were motivating her.
Yeah. My oldest brother is always like, I made you tough. Like, I'm like, thanks? Question mark? Yeah.
I love it.
But honestly, for me, I started taking pictures of my girls as soon as I became a mom, and I was a big fan of photography. I had come from a visual world. I had been in advertising and in video editing. So I'd come from this sort of world of making things look really nice and compelling on screen. And then I really loved, like, I was, you know, fully immersed in being a mom, but needed an outlet that was creative. And so before I like knew how to do anything, like even resembling like being a professional photographer, I was told my husband, I was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna start a business. I'm gonna do this. But I said, my goal was to take pictures of the kids when they looked like they weren't fully done up. They didn't have their hair like done. They didn't have perfect clothes on. Like, they weren't always smiling. Like, I really loved capturing the moments of my girls where they were like emotional and silly and not necessarily smiling for the camera. I loved like those, the things that really showed who they were. And I didn't see a lot of that in photography of girls, especially of girls. And I just kept shooting my girls and their friends as they grew up. And as like, I was really just shooting to be get practice to be a better photographer. And then I noticed that my favorite images over the course of probably 5 years were those images where they were digging in the creek in our backyard, or like yelling or screaming, or, you know, like trying something new or jumping off something. Like they were just being like fully themselves. And I wanted them to know, just really personally, like that is, I was always trying to make this distinction to them of like difference between like being pretty and being beautiful. And I was like, gosh, you guys are so beautiful. Like when you're doing these things that are encouraging them to be confident, encouraging them to be independent and strong and to use their voices. So that sort of was the genesis of my first project called Strong as New Pretty.
So what is the distinction to you between pretty and beautiful?
I mean, I think pretty, it's personally for me, I feel like I'm pretty if I've done my hair and my makeup and, you know, like I've kind of presented like this outside shell to the world that's polished. But when I honestly feel like the most beautiful, and this is insane because like I run a lot and I train for marathons, I feel like my most beautiful right after I finish like a 15, 20 mile run. I'm like so proud of myself. I'm a sweaty mess, my soaking wet, but I'm like, that moment is when I feel like I love how I feel and I feel like it exudes from me.
I love that. I totally love that. I can, when you said sweaty, it like instantly popped into my mind. I do Bikram yoga probably, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week. And I feel my best mentally. And I feel like I look my best right after I've come out of class, even though I'm a hot mess, you know, like my eyes are brighter. I have a glow. I just feel peaceful and I feel radiant, even though people probably don't want to stand too close to me.
No, it's so funny. I feel
may not smell too good, but I feel like I feel my best.
Yes. I hadn't really thought about that part too, of like when I finish a run, I feel like I'm calmer. I feel like clearer. You know, I've had time to myself doing a thing I love. And I feel like it shows, you know, I love that part.
Yeah. And I think that your book captures this. I mean, you are capturing girls doing things that they love, either expressing themselves through sports or in a, you know, a home or a backyard or at a moment in time when they're reflecting on their uses of their voice and how they've articulated in a way that maybe makes them feel proud. And so I think that comes through every photo. Talk to me about the cover image. And I want everyone who's listening to this, who is not driving a car, to quickly open Google and Google Force of Nature so you can see the spectacular image of the young girl that's on it. And for those of you who are listening while you're driving, do it when you get to your destination. How did you choose this particular image to be the cover?
So this image is actually of my youngest daughter, Alice. And it is just like, it was an unremarkable day. It was raining outside. She wanted to go outside and play in the rain. And so, of course, I was like, yeah, it sounds like a opportunity to take a picture. So we went outside and I knew the second the shutter clicked that it was going to be a great image. I was so excited to like come in and edit it. And it's really, she's just, I loved this feeling that she exuded to me. She's like, it's basically, I'll describe it. She's standing and she's outside in the rain in a bathing suit, screaming, does not care what she looks like. She's got her arms spread, her eyes closed, her hair is soaking. And I loved like that space that she is taking up. And I love that. And this, it's funny, the second that I knew I was writing another book and I wanted that image, like the feeling that image inspired in me, I wanted that image to be sort of the basis of that, of my next book. Like this feeling of taking up space, not caring what you look like, using your voice in such a great way. And I loved how young girls feel that way. The studies show that they tend to lose that confidence between like 8 and 10. I wanted something that would hopefully inspire our girls to try and keep that confidence. And then something that also reminds us as women when we used to feel that way and to encourage us to try and do more things that make us feel that way. I really love that image. I have it hanging in my kitchen, very large.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. It's phenomenal. You captured absolutely that, the sort of the joy, the confidence, the taking up space, the just fully being in the moment. And hearing you talk about the photo, like, I actually have like tears in my eyes. So I'm looking at the book cover right now while recording. It's sitting next to me, next to my microphone. And it reminds me so much of my daughter, Grace, who's now 23. Mm-hmm. You know, and just that sort of that power, that exuberance, that force that young girls have. And I love learning that this is your daughter. So, you know, Kate, I want to ask you, you know, a force of nature, a celebration of girls and women raising their voices. In the introduction, you say something that I noted down, and you say, quote, as a woman and mother to two girls, I have seen how the world tries to fit us into narrow categories with low expectations. Mm-hmm. I know you said just now that you created this book to inspire girls to take up space, to remind women that they at one point felt nothing but confidence, you know, exuberance, joy. How does this book help challenge sort of and reframe the low expectations that maybe society is attempting to put on us?
I mean, I think that's really the case, that the world sort of sets these low expectations for girls. Like, I didn't want that for myself. I didn't want that for my girls. I didn't want that for all girls. So I wanted girls to know that they didn't need to stifle who they were. They didn't need to stifle their thoughts or actions to be accepted, that who they were as they are was enough. And that hopefully through reading the book and the stories of these really amazing, inspirational girls and women in the book who have made change in their lives based on like just speaking up, I'm hoping that it sparks that, whatever that is, like that you turn that switch on for people who are reading this book to be like, you know what, that's not okay. I can change it, and I'm going to use my voice to change it. There's these amazing stories of like some girls in the book. Like, there was a group of high school juniors that were unhappy with the changes to Title IX under the Trump administration because it made it easier for sexual harassers in their high school to remain in their high school. And they rightfully thought it was BS, and they were upset about it, which is a normal reaction. What these girls did was hired a lawyer to sue the U.S. government.
Wow.
And
okay.
Like, I know. I was like, I would have been upset about this when I was in high school. I would have never thought.
I was babysitting for like pizza money.
I know. But like,
I'm pretty knocked out. I missed that one. I have to go back and find that one.
Yeah, it's Lindsay. If you're looking, it's towards the back. It's Lindsay. And she and a group of her women's student union at their high school in Berkeley, California, which tracks, makes sense.
Yep.
But they hired this lawyer. And it's interesting, the day the lawsuit was made public, the Biden administration changed the law back. So in essence, they won. I just, like, for me as a 47-year-old woman, I am inspired by that.
I was inspired by so many of the stories throughout this book, Kate. I mean, I was knocked out by these. Like, I've noted down a couple of them. We're going to get into them. We're heading into a quick break, but when we come back, I want to hear more about how you pull these stories out of all these girls and women. We'll be back after this quick break.
One third of the podcast, Books and Betches, a comedy book podcast where we swear, spoil, and we talk about...
Whoa, 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 whoa. You cannot say that in this.
What do you mean? That's like our slogan. It's our gimmick.
It is, but just say we're a very funny adult book podcast. How about we just give some examples of things we talk about?
Well, there's a lot of chaos.
I'm Chris in it with me, I have.
Wobbler!
No.
We talk about books, but we're not your AP Lit class.
I definitely hit on the major points.
You absolutely did not.
She did.
You talked
just
about...
not in the order you thought she would.
You talked so slowly about one thing.
a lot of sidebar conversations.
Are you denying the existence of chupacabras?
You know, Erica, yes, I am.
And we don't always get the facts right.
Epilogues don't belong in books. Call it chapter one.
That's a
the
prologue.
The second I see
it. Oh, I'm talking about prologues.
You can listen to new episodes of the Books and Betches podcast every Tuesday morning, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye.
Kate, we're back from the break. When we went into it, you told the incredible story of these teenagers who raised their voices and helped affect change of a policy, you know, federal policy that they were upset with. Your book is full of stunning visual imagery. Obviously, I've said you're a photographer, but for the listeners, it's important to know every image is accompanied by a short, either a quote or a micro story, like a little snippet of a story of girls and women. You organize the book into four broad categories, right? Find your voice, use your voice, amplify your voice, sustain your voice. Mm-hmm. Why did you use this framework as an organizing principle? And what were some of the stories that you surfaced? How did you connect to your subjects?
I think that's such a good question. We always need some sort of organizing chapter. We need some way to organize the book so it's not just 400 pictures in a row. And so it's sort of the normal pathway. Like you find it, then you use it, and then you amplify it, and then you sustain it. So I think it's sort of like the normal progression of finding that it's like a muscle, you know, like there's different ways to work it. And I feel like a lot of the stories could have fit in each of the categories, but it was interesting to see. It's funny, as the in sustain, we had, that was where we had most of our women, our adults, because they're at that point when you used it, you found it, and you've already amplified it, but now you're trying to figure out a way to keep it going. Which this is the first time I've ever really had women in my book. So it was really interesting to see how that looks as we get older.
You know, it's interesting that you're talking about sustain your voice, which is a chapter that I actually just flagged this quote from, because it probably spoke to me a lot, as you said, because it's where we're talking to women from 30 to 50, 60. Mm-hmm. I wrote down a quote that you wrote: finding the energy to keep using your voice again and again can be exhausting. Summoning the courage and confidence to speak is hard, especially in environments and circumstances where your opinions or ideas may be dismissed or overlooked. And summoning the patience to continue the work can be downright crushing. Mm-hmm. But change is made when we sustain our voices. You have interviewed so many. I was knocked out by some of these six-year-olds and seven-year-olds with their wisdom. You interviewed so many amazing girls and women. What do you see as a commonality throughout your subjects that makes them persist in using their voices?
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, I think the commonality and like a thread that I see in everyone that I interview and everyone that I tend to shoot is that they are passionate about something. They are invested in something, whether that be sports, singing, acting, mathematics, whatever the thing is, they have poured part of themselves into something that is separate from socials and friends and social media and things like that. So they're getting some self-worth from something they're investing in.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for...
And also maybe when they're sort of confront, a lot of the times they're confronting what they see as an injustice. Mm-hmm. You know, like you talked about the girl, but even if it's just like the boys won't let me play on the team.
Right.
Or people don't see my siblings with special needs the way I do. Mm-hmm. I need to be their voice. There are girls and women who've identified that there's something wrong in the larger narrative that's around them, that's why it seems they're brave about using their voices.
And a lot of times also it's, I mean, not every single time, but a lot of the times they have people at home, a parent, a guardian, aunt and uncle, a sibling who also is encouraging that, saying, no, that's, you know, like if you're bouncing an idea off someone, you're like, this is wrong, right? If they're like, no, you're fine, deal with it. But if that other person who you looked up to and respect is also like, no, that's not right. They sort of mirror what they're feeling and encourage them to, I don't know, it's like shaping their sense of right and wrong,
Yeah, like, they're putting air under their wings, right? Yes. And not squashing them. They're just saying, you're right. You've identified it. And now what might you be doing about it? And then when they come up with ideas, they support them. Did you interview each subject as well? And was it difficult to come up with the one quote or the one image? Is it easier to get a quote, harder to pick the one image? What comes, does one come first? How does that work?
Oh, those are good ones. So I tend to take like 50 like edit probably like 10 pictures for each girl. And I usually am shooting them for a specific reason, whether or not it's, you know, something they did, a passion of theirs. So I try to incorporate so that the photo tells a story. And then while I'm shooting them, or maybe sometimes right after I shoot them, it was something different I did for this book that I think worked really well, is that I would just conduct an interview and record it. And so that way I could ask, you know, it was more conversational. I could probe a little bit, because in the past I've just done like email surveys and it feels a little more stilted and it's harder to pull really meaningful quotes sometimes. But I really loved that this was sort of more of a conversation. And then I would transcribe them, and then I would pull the quotes from the transcriptions, just because I knew, like, say if it was a girl I was interviewing that was, you know, in an all girls Boy Scout troop, that's what I want to hear about. Why did you join that? Like, what do you feel about that? And like, kind of being able to probe and ask really interesting questions or find things out that I had no idea. Like, oh, let's talk more about that. So I really loved that part of it. It made the shoots a little bit longer, but I feel like I got much better quotes from the girls from this one.
You have phenomenal quotes. And, you know, the book, of course, is called Force of Nature. We've just talked about some girls and women who use their voices very powerfully. But any number of your subjects also said that it was hard to use their voice, right? That it took like courage and it wasn't always easy. And that there's an acknowledgement that we're not just... Actually, I flagged this too. This 11-year-old Leighton says, you can be born with confidence or you can learn it. And I was like, Leighton knows what's what. I mean, that is, how old is this kid? I was blown away about that wisdom. Because I think it took me getting to 50 to learn that. I'm like, oh, you can like build confidence by doing. I always say that like resilience and confidence is a muscle.
Right.
You become better at those things when you use them. But Leighton's figured that out in middle school. So that's pretty incredible. What role, if any, did your own aging process, Kate, play in the evolution of using your own voice?
I mean, I will take like a little page from Leighton, who is an awesome kid, that there is a lot of power to faking it till you make it. There's all these studies that, you know, women, when applying for a job, are not going to apply for the job unless they meet every single criteria. And a man will just be like, ah, I'm close enough. And we limit ourselves so much with possibility. And it's so funny. Like as I was talking about starting my photography business way before I was probably ready to, I didn't know how to do so many things. And there are still so many things that I am not an expert in. Because I'm not an expert, it doesn't mean that I can't do it. And to limit myself to the things that I'm fully an expert in, which is a very small amount of things, might be like bagels.
I'm an expert in bagels too. I was raised in New York City. I know bagels.
Yeah, eating bagels, I am fully an expert. But like, I mean, I think just like you can fake it till you make it, and then you act as if you belong there, as if you know what you're supposed to do, you know what you're supposed to say. No one's looking to call you out and limiting yourself from trying new things or applying to new things or going new places because you're not 100% sure. Like the thing is like nobody's 100% sure. And women just feel like they need to be more than men. Right. So I think
you
just
put your finger on it. That is the secret to life. No one is 100% sure. And honestly, sometimes we don't realize that. We forget this very critical fact. And I've shared this story on the podcast before, but I have a great friend who's a really powerful public speaker. She does this for a living. She gets paid like vast sums of money to take big stages around the world as a motivational speaker. And at one point I said to her, well, you're just naturally good at that. And she said, oh no, anyone who does this has put in practice and time and work. And I was like, duh, of course. Like that makes, like who just like is trained to like, you don't just get out of bed and like walk out into the stage as a young woman and just crush it. And I practice lots of things. I practice yoga. Like I take tennis lessons because I need to work on things. And sometimes look at other people and just think, oh, that's for them because they are so fill in the blank, talented, rich, whatever it is. And we think that we can't do those things, but it's like the dint of steady practice, application that gives us, that's how we get expertise. And also how we get that confidence that we were talking about earlier, right? You know, confidence, I truly believe comes from doing. You might feel deeply unconfident the first time you try something new, but you're never going to earn that confidence step by step, bit by bit, unless you sort of put yourself in action and begin as a very imperfect beginner. So I feel like I've learned that in midlife. Yeah. And frankly, it took getting to midlife for me to truly understand this like on a cellular level.
For sure. Yeah. I remember my first big photo shoot where it was like a commercial client. There was a large crew and I had not worked with any crew but myself up until that point. And I walked into the photo shoot and I threw up because I was so nervous.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I was like, thankfully, the person that hired me, I knew. And he was like, just do your thing. We want the pictures to look like what you've done. And I was like, okay, I can do that. The other stuff doesn't matter, but I know how to take a good picture. And so like kind of tuning out the noise and relying on the thing I do know how to do and then letting everyone else do their job. It's funny. I didn't even know what the roles of everybody else on the set were because I had only done everything myself. But I ended up getting pictures I was really happy with. The client was happy with it. But it took me like walking onto that set and then walking into the bathroom, throwing up, and then actually walking on the set to like know that I could do it. But yeah, you just have to do, you have to act like you belong there.
And eventually you do. And that's such a powerful story. So, you know, I mean, I have walked into rooms and been very, very nervous as well. Mm-hmm. And I've walked onto stages and felt extremely nervous. And, you know, I haven't thrown up yet, but I'm, you know, this life is long. There's time, you know, and, you know, we put ourselves in these circumstances where we can feel overwhelmed. And thank you for sharing that. So for anyone who's nervous about starting something and thinking that I don't want to do that, I mean, remember, look, Kate lived to tell the tale. Right? She's here. She's, you know, has her fifth incredible book out. If you follow her on Instagram, you'll see she's hanging out, being interviewed by people like Andy, you know, Cohen on Bravo TV. And like, you've changed your life because you were doing these things and you were willing to be uncomfortable. And that's how we get anywhere.
Right.
And how we affect any kind of change. So, you know, I love spending time with this book. You know, you have so many different stories. There's 12-year-old Alice who sang the national anthem at Fenway. Mm-hmm. To people who are just doing like regular things, Ella diving into her neighborhood swimming pool, saying you can't worry about looking silly. There's Paula at 51 who talks about embracing fitness has made her a better mother and person and a friend. Is there one woman or one girl that sticks out in your mind, an image that you can't shake, or are they all your favorites?
I mean, there's so many, but I mean, there are a lot of my favorites, but I mean, there's certain ones that are like, I really learned stuff from these girls. Like there was this one, I'm just like leafing through the book now as well. There's one girl, Lainey, who her quote is that she is gender fluid. My pronouns are she and they. Sometimes I feel more feminine. Sometimes I feel more masculine. And I was confused by this. I didn't really understand what this meant. And I was like, Lainey, do you mind explaining to me what this means? I said, this is a book about girls and women. Are you comfortable being in this book? And she was so patient with me, explained how she felt, how some days she feels more feminine, some days she feels more masculine. That's what that meant to her. And was so kind and patient explaining how she felt that day and was like very open and brave and being having those quotes and having her photo in the book. Like, I feel like the kids that are putting themselves out on a limb a little bit and being vulnerable, you know, there's another girl talking about her quote is about her Tourette's and how in the photo she's trying as hard as she can not to bob her head and move because she's fighting her Tourette's, and that she wants people to know that she's not disruptive and that she can't help it.
I know that image. It's an incredible image too. She's this young girl with these like saucer open eyes and like a smattering of freckles, and just, you know, so open about sharing her struggle. It was incredible.
Yeah, I think it's those girls especially that are vulnerable, and when they're sharing their story that they hope helps other people. For me, that's like they choke me up the most, because it's like they could be made fun of for that. They're 10 and 11 or 15, but they're willing to share something about themselves that they think might help other people. I respect that so much.
Yeah, it's so generous to say a thing and share yourself in a way that makes other people feel seen and feel comfortable. This book obviously sort of pushes the narrative, it pushes against the narrative, right? That women are not forces to be reckoned with, that girls are maybe sort of sugar and spice and everything nice and just sort of diminutive little creatures. Your book, Strong is the New Pretty, obviously pushed back against the sort of narrative that girls are not competitors or that they're not strong. What do you see your work as narrative shifting? Does that feel like too lofty, but is that a goal for you? And are there other dated narratives that you feel that we as women need to be pushing back against?
I mean, that would be amazing if people shift how they see somebody based on, or a female based on the story of a girl that I shared. And I mean, this book was inspired by the female voice, and I hope people understand, and girls and women especially, that they have way more power than they recognize, and they can change the world if they just sort of fully realize that. And I feel like representation is so important. I want anybody reading this book to be inspired by like the courage and the strength of these girls and women, and then know that they can advocate for themselves and others.
I think the book succeeds in doing that so beautifully. And the book is so moving, but I also want to let all listeners know that it's also really fun. Like there are a lot of really fun quotes that like will like crack you up or just like make you laugh. And I flagged one on page 204, this 11-year-old girl, Alice, says, "Sometimes you need to remind yourself that you're awesome." And I was like, yes, Alice, we do. We do need to remind ourselves that we're awesome. It was just, you know, again, it just cracked me up. And I was like, she's 11 again in middle school, but like dropping truth bombs. How do you remind yourself of your own awesomeness, Kate? Because you are pretty awesome.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. It's so funny. I feel like the worst, most vulnerable like version of myself when books come out. I hate it. I get very like worried about, I'm very proud of the book, but I don't know if it's that I'm like want to make sure that the girls' stories are heard and listened to. But then I also am like, is it selling? Are people responding to it? And I'm not a good version of myself, I will say. It's like the least confident version of myself. But
a day when you're struggling, like when you're feeling that sense of overwhelm, because by the way, we all have them. Some days we're like on the top of the roller coaster. We're like flying. We feel incredible.
Right.
And then we come down. So like, how would you remind yourself maybe of your awesomeness on days when you're struggling? Because I'm sure people who are listening are thinking like, I could use a little jolt myself, a little inspiration, some ideas.
I mean, for me, I take such comfort in like the fact that like I have a family that does not care. And so I always try to relate it to like, you know, if I run a marathon, a 99% of the people are like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. They don't care how fast I ran the marathon. I care how fast I ran the marathon. They only care that I ran the marathon. So I feel like the same thing for me with the books is like, they're like, you wrote a book about girls and women? That's amazing in and of itself. Who cares? And like surrounding myself with friends and family, my dogs, who could give like zero about sales or anything like that, or like I feel like surrounding myself with things and family and comforts and doing things that like feel good. Like taking care of myself, like running, like it is really running again, going for like a good, my husband's always like, you need to
You're running again? You're lacing up your sneakers again?
No, he's like kicking me out the door because he's like,
oh, he's like, you need to run again. Get out there and start running. We need you to calm down.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, I think you need to go for a run. No, it is just like doing some self-care of like, it's so funny. Like it's been very busy the last couple weeks with the book launching and stressful with travel and things like that. I said to my husband, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to take off tomorrow. I don't have any calls. I'm going to watch some basketball games. It's March Madness. You know, I was like, just trying to like plan a day to be like,
to just be.
Yeah.
And do the things that you love. Mm-hmm. Do your children photograph? Are they photographers as well? Can they like capture you in action enjoying basketball and putting your feet up?
No. Well, it's funny. My oldest is in college and she was asking, she was like, can I have one of your old cameras? And I was like, absolutely. You know, I was like, I sent it to her. I think they like the flash because the flash is like flattering and I have no idea. Like, I feel like it's a sort of a trend now, but I'm very encouraging. But my younger one does not, they don't really care. They're just, you know, iPhone photos.
I love it. We have a lot of that going on in my house too. My daughter is into film photography a little bit now too. I think you put your finger on it. Yeah. She enjoys it. I love photography too. Although I haven't really done it, you know, since I was in high school, but you're inspiring me. Your book is beautiful. It's a reminder of the power of this medium. And I so enjoyed it. And I can so recommend Force of Nature, a celebration of girls and women raising their voices to everyone who's listening, because we need to get loud and we need to share our stories and we need to be brave, because that's how we affect change in any area of our lives and how we're going to make the world better. Kate, we're coming to the end of our time, but we do close with a speed round and I hope you'll stick around and be speedy with me. These are just 1 to 2 word answers to answer questions so we can end on a high energy note. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. Seeing Force of Nature out and about in the world feels...
awesome. I haven't seen it out in the world yet, but I know it's out there, but it will be awesome.
I'm holding it in my hand. You need to get into a bookstore, stat, and see it on a shelf.
I need to go.
That's hysterical. Do you shoot with film or digital?
Digital.
How many takes to get an amazing picture?
Just one. You just need one.
That's okay. I like that. That's true. Do you have a favorite sport or activity to photograph?
Cross country.
For an amateur photographer who wants to get better, is there a book or a resource or an editing tool that you can recommend to up our own photography game?
I love the Adobe Suite. You pay a monthly fee, you get Photoshop, you get Lightroom, and you can just play around and it's not that expensive for the monthly fee.
Nice. You have, as I said, you've gotten to hang with Bravo TV's Andy Cohn. You've done brand collabs with Athleta. What's been the wildest, sort of most surprising place that your book journey has taken you?
Oh my gosh. I would say being the bartender on Watch What Happens Live was pretty cool.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm finding that and putting that into the show notes. If I can find that link, that sounds cool. What makes you a force of nature?
I think I am very determined. I will not give up. I think that's my...
Your superpower?
Yeah, that is my superpower. I'm not the most talented. I'm not the best photographer out there, but I do stick with things that I believe in.
And look at where it's taken you. I love it. Okay, this is my last one. Finally, your one-word answer to complete the sentence. As I age, I feel...
more content.
Nice. That's the goal. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So before we say goodbye, how can our listeners find you? I've been talking all about your Instagram. Tell them where to go so they can see your work and keep up with all things Kate T. Parker and your photographs.
Oh yeah. Instagram is the best place. I post there most often and it's a visual medium. So great for a photographer. And I'm Kate T. Parker on Instagram.
Nice. Thank you so much, Kate. This has been a total blast.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
This wraps A Certain Age, a show for women who are aging without apology. And before I say goodbye, a couple of quick favors. First, can you please forward this episode to your friends? Sharing the show helps it grow. You can even dump it into your girlfriend text thread. You know, the one you've got going with all those forces of nature in your own life. Second, we would love a 5-star podcast review. please take 5 minutes to write a short review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Every review helps the show grow. Finally, we are starting to take listener questions. You can email me yours at katie@acertainagepod.com or DM me on Instagram. You can find the show at A Certain Age Pod. Special thanks to Mike Lomancini, who composed and produced our theme music. See you next time. And until then, age boldly, beauties.